أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمة الله تعالى عليه الناقد العاشر من نواقد الإسلام، قال رحمه الله: الإعراض عن دين الله تعالى لا يتعلمه ولا يعمل به، ودليل ذلك قوله تعالى: ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه ثم أعرض عنها إلا من المجرمين منتقمون. محمد بن عبد الوهاب may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him, he brought the 10th and final naqid of the nawaqid of al-Islam in his book, and that is his statement: whoever turns away from the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes an i'rab, he turns away and he rejects it. Whoever turns away from the religion of Allah ta'ala, he doesn't learn about the religion, nor does he work according to the religion, then this person is outside of the fold of Al-Islam. And the proof of that is the statement of Allah ta'ala in Surah Al-Sajdah that we just read in the Salah, the surah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read on Friday. Surah Al-Sajdah and Surah Al-Insan: هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. In that ayah, or that surah, Surah Al-Sajdah, ayah number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and who is more oppressive and who does more wrong than the one who is reminded of the signs of his Lord? He is reminded of the ayat of his Lord and then he turns away from them and he rejects them. Verily, we are going to pay those mujrimeen back. We are going to get revenge from those mujrimeen. وصدق الله العظيم حيث قال ما قال. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes in this ayah that those people who turn away from the dhikr, the remembrance of the ayat of Allah, whether it's the Quran, whether it's the sunnah, whether it's the ayat of his creation, it's a general statement. Whoever turns away from the ayat of Allah ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to get revenge from these criminals. The meaning here, you have to understand this, ikhwan, of an i'rab here. The i'rab that puts a person outside of the religion of Al-Islam is talking about the person who refuses to learn or to practice the basic precepts of al-Islam. It's not the person who there's something that he doesn't agree with you in or with because he's ignorant, because he's a Sufi, because he's Hanafi or something. You come to him and you tell him, hey, you can mix a lot in your shoe. He turns away and rejects it. He doesn't go outside of the religion of al-Islam just like that. This statement is not talking about him. This is talking about the person who refuses to learn about the religion. He refuses to sit down to learn about the basic concepts and principles of al-Islam. If you were to ask him something about the basic issues in this religion, he wouldn't be able to answer. He doesn't know about it, and obviously can't practice it. This is what this al-I'raj is talking about. So it's not saying that it is obligatory upon every single Muslim to know about all of the five minute details of the religion. That's impossible. The fine details of the religion, the inside and the outside of knowing this and that, that's left for who? For the ulama and the students of knowledge. For the scholars and the students of knowledge. But the more you know about the details of the religion, the better it is for you. The higher you want to be in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the sight of the people. If you remain of the people ignorant, like the dub, or the kelp, or the himar, or the chitan, or the khidir, or the karada, then this is your problem. You want to be like a monkey? Then be like a monkey. You don't know anything about the religion. You want to be like the swine, like the jackass, like the horse, like the lizard? They don't know anything about the religion. They just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by going out to their school, having babies, taking care of their babies, moving from here to there. You want to be like that, then you be like that. The more knowledge that you get, the better it is for you. But the fine details of the deen is left for the ulama and it's left for the students of knowledge. Also, from the proofs of the danger of being of the people who are ignorant and turning away from the ayat of Allah Ta'ala and the religion, either by not learning about it or not practicing it, is the statement of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, which he tells about the reward of the people who do this, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that's the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةٌ ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتِنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayat of Surah Taha, Taha, ayat 124, and whoever turns away from my remembrance, then he's going to have a difficult life. Ma'ishatun dhanka. He's going to have a difficult life. A life full of problems. A life full of diseases. He can't sleep at night. He suffers from insomnia. He suffers from stress. He suffers from depression. He suffers from paranoia. He has all kind of mental problems. Whoever turns away from our life, he's going to have, from our side, he's going to have a difficult, totally difficult life. And Yawm al-Qiyamah, you're going to raise him up blind. He's going to be of those people who can't see. He's going to say, Yawm al-Qiyamah, oh my Lord, why have you raised me up blind when I used to have the ability to see? And he'll be saying to him, you have the signs come to you and you forgot about them, so on this day you're going to be forgotten about. Why? Because at the beginning of the ayah, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي, the one who turns away from my dhikr, from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the dhikr in the Quran, ikhwan, many times it means al-kitab wa-sunnah. فَاسْأَلِ أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of the dhikr. Who? The people of the Quran and the sunnah. That's one of the meanings and interpretations of this ayah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, in this ayah, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةٌ ضَنْكًا, the one who turns away from my remembrance, the Quran and the sunnah. He turns away from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another clear proof is the proof that the Prophet told us about al-Munkar wal-Nakir alayhim as-salatu was-salam. The two angels
who come to the dead person when he's in the grave. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about this long hadith that's from the affairs of the unseen. And this hadith clearly proves that those people who don't learn about the basics of this religion and they don't work by them, they are outside of the fold of Allah. Part of the hadith is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, سَيَأْتِينِ مَلَكَانِ فَيُدْرِسَانِهِ فَيَقُولَانِ لَهُ لَنْ رَبُّكَ. So the two angels will come to him if he's a believer. After his people put him in a grave and they throw dirt over him, he can hear him standing up there. He can hear some of his relatives say, let me hurry up and go marry his wife. He can hear the other one say, let me hurry up and go get his money. The other one say, well, he left his car in my garage, that's mine now. He can hear all that. He can hear their footsteps walking, going away from his grave. When they get away from the grave, he's all by himself now. He got an answer now for, where were you at, Abdullah, concerning the Salah? Where were you at, Ya Abdullah, from the Ghiba, the Qira, the Qal? Where were you at, Ya Abdullah, from the Namima, and all of those issues, the Zina, the oppression? Where were you at, Ya Abdullah, concerning the rights that your family had over you in terms of the way you're supposed to be as Muslim fathers, Muslim men? So when those people go away, those two angels come and he set them up. All by yourself. Wallahi, I don't care. The most bravest one from amongst us right now won't have enough courage to go to a graveyard right now, dig a hole 6 feet deep in it, and say, I'm just going to sit in the grave for the rest of the night. Nobody has the courage to do it. What about when that's the whole day you have to deal with it? They come, they set them up. Those two angels say to the believer, man rabbuka fa yaqul rabbi Allah. فيقولان له وما دينك فيقول دين الإسلام فيقولان له وماذا قلت في هذا الرجل الذي بعث فيكم قال فيقول هو رسول الله فيقولان له وما علمك فيقول قرأت كتاب الله فآمنت به وصدقت. The two angels come, they sit that individual up and say to him, who's your Lord? Basic question. He said, my Lord is Allah. And what's your religion? My religion is Al-Islam. And what do you have to say about that man who came to you? He is the messenger of Allah. He is Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they're going to say to him, how did you get knowledge? How did you know? He's going to say, I read the book of Allah, and I believed in it. I read the Sunnah, and I read the book of Allah, and I believed in it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about that individual, فَيُنَادِي مُنَادٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَنْ صَدَّقَ عَبْدِي فَأَفْرِسِهِ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَلْبِسِهِ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَافْتَغِ لَهُ بَابٍ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, after that Muslim answers with those answers, a caller from the sky is going to say, verily my servant has believed. So therefore, make a way for him in the paradise and cause him to wear the clothes of the paradise and open up the door to him to the gates of paradise. That's the believer. He said, what? I read the book of Allah and I believe. Then the Prophet went on to tell us some other things about what's going to happen to his soul rising up to the heavens. Each level that it goes to, the group of angels on that heaven is going to say, whose soul is this? Why is my soul good? Who does it belong to? And they're going to say, this is the soul of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, and they're going to call him by the most beloved name that he knew in the dunya. And then they'll knock on the paradise on the door of the Jannah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, put my soul, the soul of my servant, in the Aliyin, in the, you know, the high place in Jannah. That's for the believer. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَمَّا الْكَافِرْ أَوَ الْمُنَافِقْ. But as for the disbeliever or the hypocrite, when he's burned, and then the people say, look, I'm going to marry his wife, I'm going to steal his money, I'm not going to give him back the amount that I had, I'm not going to tell his family about what he left, I'm going to beat him for what he left with me, they walk away, those two angels, a linker and a peer, sit him up. فَيُقِيْلَانِ لَهُ مَنْ رَبُّكَ فَيَقُولْ هَا لَا أَبْرِي فيقول وما دينك فيقول ها لا أدري. فيقول له وماذا قلت في هذا الرجل الذي بعث فيكم؟ فيقول لا أدري، قلت كما قال الناس. فيقول له ما دريت وما تليت. ايش انتم؟ اي ايش الله؟ ايش I don't know. Basic question. What's your religion? I don't know. They say to the kafir, what did you have to say about that man with sympathy? The kafir say, I don't know. And the munafiq, the hypocrite, the one who is not really a Muslim and just perpetrates the foreign law and gets paid with the Muslim in order to be protected by the Muslim, he's locked up in prison. He's in a prison. So because he sees that the Muslims have power in the prison, he's with the gang of Muslims. He looks at it like a gang. And with the Muslims to protect me from the Puerto Ricans, and with the Muslims to protect me from the Aryan nation, and with the Muslims to protect me from this and that. But he's not really a Muslim. Then he said to him, what did you have to say about that man who came to you? He said, if he's a munafiq, he'll say, I said like the people said. I followed the people. I said what they said. So it was angry to say to him, what? You didn't read and you didn't know. So he said, from the sky, verily my servant, he disbelieved, didn't believe in me. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person's soul will start going to the sky. Every level of power that it passes by, the angel's gonna say, whose soul is that? With this terrible smell, whose soul is that? And they're gonna say, that's the soul of so-and-so, the soul of so-and-so, and name them by the worst name that you still have in the dunya. That's the soul of Calphys. That's the soul of every single man you can remember people calling you hated that name. That's what they're going to call you. Then Allah Ta'ala going to throw me into the hellfire. So this ayat is a tremendous hadith of the Quran, of the sunnah of the Prophet. From what it shows us, ikhwanis, what we're trying to prove right here. The basics of this religion, ما دينك ما يجبك ما دقت لها بالرجل, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you can't answer that, you're outside of the religion. Also, there's a subtle benefit here that we need to understand. You see that munafiq, that kafir, who said as the people said, but he didn't understand why he was saying it. This is one of those clear proofs to show that taqleed al-a'la is not going to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. For you to blindly follow people not knowing why you're doing what you're doing, not an excuse in front of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But instead, the Muslims should worship Allah Ta'ala on the clear evidence. As you have so many ayat in the Quran, quote, هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني. Say to them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my way, the Quran and the Sunnah, the Salat al-Mustaqim. This is my way. I call to Allah with knowledge, على بصيرة. Me and those people who follow me. It's not enough for a person to blindly follow anyone. The only one we blindly follow is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because ما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. All of us, insha'Allah ta'ala, we know people in the communities where we come from, in the different walks of life that we've had, we know people who, if you were to ask them, are you a Muslim? They'd say, yes, I'm a Muslim. But if you were to ask them in detail, explain to me what is al-Islam, the five pillars of al-Islam, they can't answer. I remember when I first came to this masjid right here, and I asked the brothers who came to one of the first classes that we were given, what are the five arkan of al-Iman, or the six pillars of faith? Some brothers said jihad, some brothers said al-amr bil-ma'ruf, they just guessed. Now, alhamdulillah, the people came to know the six pillars of al-Iman. And these were people who were praying in the masjid. So what about those people who just claim to be Muslims because they say, I'm not a Christian, so therefore I'm a Muslim? Many times you'll find Muslims, ourselves included, who want to recognize those people as Muslims. Like we hear all the time, a man's mother or father is on the deathbed. They can barely speak or move. You start saying to your grandmother, you never gave a dawah. The dawah that you gave was a soft dowel. You're afraid of getting upset. You really never sat her down. Hey, Grandma. Hey, Ma, come here. Let me explain to you what Islam. Every time you see him, you put in your ear, Islam, Islam. Of course, in a nice way. To make it palatable to the people, to make it appreciative to the people, not pushing them away like some of the people do. Soon as they see you, they don't want to see you because they know you're going to try to ram Islam down their throat. But anyway, we waited to get on the dub there. She hooked up to all kinds of machines. So you go and you say, Grandma, Grandma, say La ilaha illallah. Say La ilaha illallah. And your grandmother opened her eyes and she don't like this. With her eyes. Then she died. Then you go and you tell people, my grandmother accepted Islam. Or she moved her hand like this. Grandma, do you believe in La ilaha illallah? And she moved her pinky like this. You leave the hospital to talk about, my grandmother accepted Islam. Why are your grandmother there learning nothing about Islam? And your grandmother didn't know anything about Islam? And she didn't practice anything about Islam. And you are not the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like he did with Abu Talib, who was about to die, and he was saying to him, Ya Ammi, qul, La ilaha illallah, kalimatan uhaju laka biha inda Allah yawm al-qiyamah. Just say this one word, uncle. Just say, La ilaha illallah, I'll be your intercessor. I'll argue for you in front of Allah. What did Abu Talib do? Ya Akhi, Abu Talib defended the religion. He never believed in Islam, but he told those kuffar, look, you mess with Muhammad, I'm going to deal with you. So those people left the Prophet alone because of Abu Talib. Abu Talib, the Kafirs in the hellfire, helped him defeat Islam more than the so-called people call themselves Ansar al-Sunnah and the Dawah al-Salafiyah. And he's a Kafir, a Mushrik, in the modern Jahannam. And he helped the religion. Okay, your grandmother, you can't use PIs, your grandmother and Abu Talib. You're not the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor the grandmother like Abu Talib. What does he do? He didn't do a single thing. How many of our feet are pinky, moving our eyes, sticking our tongue out? How are you going to compare it to me like she accepted Islam? Nah, we don't put inside this religion people who don't belong in it. Just like we don't take outside of the religion people don't belong outside of the religion. Now, what about the person you really? Their grandmother and their grandfather, they're on a deathbed, and then they accept all the time. We still can't say, yeah, that person died as a Muslim. Did he say that? Because he's in the, you know, the death is right there, he's gargling, he's afraid of saying anything right now. That kind of tawbah isn't accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people say out of fear and not out of faith, so all we want to make is this issue perfectly clear. Those people who this happens to them, we say, Allah knows that. It's possible that Allah Ta'ala will accept the Islam of that person who moved his finger or something like that, he really knew. But we're saying to you, you can't leave that hospital or wherever it was, in your mind saying to people, they died in Islam. How you going to put in Islam someone you don't have the yaqeen that they're in Islam? And likewise, I can't be a person to say they're not in Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have accepted their Islam. How? We say, Allah alam, what happened on their deathbed was this, 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 and this, and this. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept it from them. But whoever turns away from the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then he doesn't learn about that religion, nor does he work by the religion, you know the ayah in the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states in the Quran, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ. Allah doesn't accept the tawbah of the person whose death comes to him and says, oh, I'm a tawbah now. I'm going to move my finger, I'm going to move my eyeball. I'm going to be like this. Come on, it's too late now. When the death comes on, it's too late to make tawbah. It's like the people, Yawm al-Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala has the people on the earth, and then the sun seeks permission to come up as she does every single day. Before rising, and don't be of the people who put their mind before the text. Before the sun rises every day, she seeks permission from Allah Ta'ala to come up. On the last day, the very last day, she's going to seek permission from Allah to come up and to go and sit. And Allah Ta'ala is not going to give her permission. Going to tell her, go the other way. Instead of coming up from the east or rising in the west, go the other way. Come up from the west. Now you think people are going to respond to that? Huh? People want to start saying, I believe now. This is clear sign right here. No toy back that time. No toy now. Sit. You can't make toba when you are in the state where you're gargling and you're fighting and the angel of death is trying to kick your soul.
So those people who are from our family, and that's their state, you need to start to give them dawah prior to the angel of death coming to them, prior to them being in the throes of death, fighting the angel of death with every breath going out and coming in. Before they get to that state, it's our job to talk to our people. That would also show us another important thing, Aquan, and that is some of us, and Allah knows best, we are in charge of people who don't want to learn the religion. And they don't want to practice the religion. They don't want to learn about their religion. They want to remain like the lizard, or like the monkey, or the parrot, or the snake, or the scorpion. They want to just say, Ana Abdullah, Ana Amatullah, like the snake says every day, Ana Abdullah. The scorpion says, Ana Abdullah, every single day. They want to remain like that. It shows us that now those people who we are responsible for, they are in a very dangerous situation. How are you going to claim that you're a Muslim and you're not going to make an effort to learn anything about your religion? How is that possible? There's something wrong with that equation. You have to be making some effort to push your people to learn about the religion. But how am I push my people if I'm not really learning? I don't have a real learning and study habit. I'm not showing them an example. You can't be like the people who I hear some really strange issues about how the oppressive, tyrannical person forces his wife to learn about al-Islam, like learning the Quran, and she can't memorize some transliteration. She has to memorize some Arabic because she doesn't even know Arabic. So he piles on top of her head book after book after book. And the girl is a person who I know personally will read. She reads by herself. When she marries you, you come and you make life distasteful and hateful to her. You tell her, you better get done with this book before today is over. And you better memorize. You're right, it's crazy. And you can't memorize your transliteration. The person's going to turn away from the religion, turn away from knowledge. You're not telling brothers to be like that, force your people to accept Islam, force your family to learn about Islam like that. But we're saying for sure, those people who are not doing anything about learning about the religion, there's something wrong with their level of commitment, with their understanding of Islam. From the ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned is the ayat in Surah An-Najm, ayat number 22. And that's the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَعْرَضْ أَنَّنْ تَوَلَّ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَلَمْ يَرَدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It's extremely important. It's not enough for the Muslim akhi alim. Not enough for the Muslim to be responsible for people who are in his household, eating his food, being clothed in shelter. He's responsible for them. And they don't practice all that. They don't practice it and they don't learn about it. Whether it's from his teenage children, his wife, whoever it is. This ayah in Surah An-Najm said, so therefore, turn away, make the i'rad. We make the i'rad. Turn away from the person who turns away from our remembrance and he doesn't want anything but the life of this world. Allah, there's so many Muslims. This is their situation. This is their situation. When it comes to their dunya work, they do everything that them shayateen tell them to do. They do everything that them shayateen do. Be here at this time, leave at that time. Don't dress like this, dress like that. Don't go here, don't go here, don't pray over this. You want to come to the Christmas party, you got to participate in the Christmas fun, you want to do this, you want to do that. Do everything. And he just says, okay, okay. But when it comes to religion, the Jum'ah come and go. Three of them, four, five, six. The one who misses three Jum'ah, whether it's in a row or not. Whoever misses three Jum'ahs without a legitimate excuse, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will put a seal on his heart. He misses the Jum'ah. He doesn't pray. 9 o'clock, he had that job. The Fajr, he ain't at that job. He ain't at the Fajr. He ain't at the job of making Salat al-Fajr.
So Allah told us how to deal with those people who we're responsible for, or just the regular people. He said, turn away from those people who turn away from our sign. And they don't want anything but al-hayat al-dunya. I can't understand from the life of me. I can't understand, wallahi, I can't understand how a man can have a situation where he can marry any woman from anywhere in the world. He can go marry a righteous woman. He doesn't have to settle for a bad wife. Just any woman. Because she's from my neighborhood, I'm going to be married to her. Because she has my baby, I'm going to be married to her. Because she's the color that I am, I'm going to be married to her. A man can go anywhere with any woman he wants in the world. Chinese, Muslim, can you imagine? He can get a Muslim woman from Malaysia who's tall, nice, mutaqiya, musalliya, sa'ima, qa'ima. Nobody touched her before. She hardly ever went outside. She's waiting for somebody right now. But instead of that, brother, seeing that Allah is al-qawi, al-azim, Allah has only built you, you say, oh, I'm stuck with Kulana, Alana, who don't pray, she don't do this, she don't do that, and I'm just going to deal with this. What are you saying? I mean, really, in terms of everybody falls short of the mark, but what are we saying? Well, we don't have power and ability over our women folks. What are you saying? Those brothers, you're not married, I say, you can't remain unmarried. The fitna. Because sooner or later, you're going to fall into the haram. All the way into the haram. So we're saying to you, before you get married, though, don't just get married to some knucklehead. You met her somewhere and you're just going to get married like that. There are some girls who, that's their case, they get wives. They become good Muslim women. But you have to take your time, I think, and search for the good Muslim girl. Whether she's from America or other than America, I don't care what color she is, where she's from. The point is, don't get married to no woman who's not going to listen to you. You don't have any ability to tell her, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? She's an embarrassment. So that's what we have to do concerning those people who we are responsible for. When we give them examples, good preaching, nice teaching, understand what I'm saying? Everybody deserves a chance. Ah, you're my boy, you're 18, 19, 20. I know, you know, you've not been practicing Islam. This is what I want from you. I'm going to try to help you. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to overlook. We're going to turn over a new leaf, a new slate. We're going to wipe it clean. I just want you to make an effort. Make a halfway attempt. That's how we have to approach them. When you see them, that they start making efforts, but you just give them some time, inshallah. But if you see that Allah Ta'ala put a sin on their heart, throw them out. Change them. Get a new soul. New life is going to be a distraction for their younger baby. Now the question that presents itself is, okay, what about this sister? What about this sister who's married to a brother who turned away from the ayat of Allah? Should she change him for a new faith, for a new khimar, for a new jilbab? Should she obey him? What should she do? The ayat that we want to use for that sister is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, ayat number 28. Allah ta'ala said to this amat Allah, لَا تُتِعْ مَنْ أَخْسَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرِهِ فِرَطًا. Allah Ta'ala said, do not obey. Don't give any ta'ah. Don't give any obedience to the one who caused his heart to be ghafila. أَخْسَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ. You know who's in the ghafilin. Al-ghafila he tajid. He's the person who's sitting here right now. And someone is outside letting the air out of his tire. Stealing his radio. He doesn't know what's going on. He's not cognizant. That's the ghafil one. He doesn't know what's going on. Your children over there praying, you don't have an idea. You don't have a clue of what's happening with him right now. Just raising all kind of problems and doing all kind of mischief. That's the ghafil, the literal meaning of it. So the one that Allah Ta'ala makes his heart maghfir, he's the one who goes through the life. He don't know what he's doing. He never sits down to make tawbah. He never sits down to recollect how I used to be when I was first a Muslim, and I was pumped up and I was making some effort and I was trying to be a Muslim. He never takes the time to reckon himself. Ever. It's ghafil. So Allah said in this ayah, don't obey the one who caused his heart to be incognizant. Not cognizant. And he doesn't remember our zikr, and he follows his desire, and his affair is all over the place. He just falls off. He's not taking care of anything. He's lackadaisical. You say to that woman, don't obey that guy. He doesn't deserve your obedience. That's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا طاعة للمخلوق في معصية الخالق. Do not obey the creation when it tells disobey Allah. Phone him and get a new khimar, a new jilbab. Now he's not playing, he's drinking khamr, he's running around having relationships with women, he's not taking care of business, he's not being a Muslim, he's against the dawah. Can you imagine that? I know sisters all over the place, Philadelphia, all over the place. There are sisters who are on the dawah, inshallah, ta'ala, and their husbands are against the dawah. Against it. We say to sisters like that, if he like is fighting, just outright fighting the dawah, change him and get a khula. Inshallah, the hadith don't apply to you. It's not applicable. This is one of the good things that happened in our development as Muslims. When I first became a Muslim years ago, you saw that the majority of the women used to dress with turbans, and it was crazy. It was a fashion show. So that was people on the sunnah. Yellow, pink, purple, all kind of clothes on the Friday. Now you see different. You see people, mashallah, in black and brown and blue in these nice colors. That's the evolution of the dawah. Another thing is, way back in the day, women didn't care about this issue about getting the khula. She'll get it in a minute. But now, wallahi, some women, they know this hadith because it's been beaten to their head so much. Ayyuma imra'atin salat zawjaha at-talaq li ghayrihi ba'tin fa haramu 'alayha al-jannah. Any woman who asks her husband for a divorce, a khula, without a just reason, she won't get to paradise. She won't smoke fragrance and stop paradise. This message has been beaten in the minds of the women so much that some women have legitimate reasons to get a khula, and they come in the corner and say, "Ya akhi, this is what this brother is doing. He's beating me down. He's trying to have relationships with me in a place that's haram. And he's forcing me. He obviously is sodomizing me. Can I get a khula?" You need to ask that question. You need to ask that question. She was afraid maybe that hadith is applicable to me, that I'm asking a khula for a reason that's not legit. Maybe I should be being patient. I should be more patient. Let somebody do that to somebody I'm responsible for, like my daughter. Allah not try me with that one. Sodomizing the woman. So the point I want to make now is, if the man is against the dawah, he's fighting the Quran and the Sunnah, then you say to that girl, give him a chance, give him a break, give him some dawah, get your wali to talk to him. If you don't give it to poor one, get a hook. Inshallah, Allah will give you somebody better. Allah will give you somebody better. If somebody say, "Hey, are you encouraging people to destroy their families? What about the 5 babies, the 6 babies? And we say people have to be faqihat. Fuqaha wa faqihat. People got to know their own situation. Don't obey those people who turn away from our zikr, and they don't want, and they follow their desire, and all they want is the hayat al-dunya. As for the feeling of knowledge, ikhwan, the talib al-ilm, he obviously is the last person who should turn away from the Quran and the Sunnah and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith of that companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Waqid al-Laythi radiallahu anhu, has been collected by al-Imam al-Bukhari as well as al-Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhima. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِالنَّفْرِ الثَّلَاثَ أَمَّا أَهْدَهُمْ فَآوَى إِلَى اللَّهِ فَآوَى اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَأَمَّا الْآخِرُ فَاسْتَحْيَى مِنَ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَحْيَى اللَّهُ مِنْهُ وَأَمَّا الْآخِرُ فَأَعْرَضَ فَأَعْرَضَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Should I not tell you, listen to what the Prophet said to his companion Sadiq. He said, should I not tell you about the 3 people who came to the sitting of knowledge? He was talking, and as he was sitting there teaching his companions, 3 men came. He said, should I not tell you people about those 3 men? Alright, one of them, when he came and he found the space, and he came close to the information of Quran with Sunnah. He realizes it. inside of the Quran and the Sunnah is Nur and Huda and the Sakina and Rahmah. Inside of the Quran and the Sunnah is all of that. Guidance, light, yaqeen, tranquility, mercy, aim, all of that. So he naturally is drawn to it. He has a fitrah. He has a disposition where he likes good. He's attracted to good. And evil, dirt, things like that, he finds it repulsive and repugnant. He wasn't able to want to do it. He came to it, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to him. How? Allah came to him in a way that befitting his majesty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes easy for him to get the knowledge. Allah ta'ala makes it easy for him. The way, you never know, Akhi Tariq. Keep making an effort, you never know. Allah ta'ala open up a way for you before you know it. Ya Akhi, don't bite your finger. Allah ta'ala make a way for you to go all the way over to Medina. You study over in Al-Islam, and then they pay you to study. Allah make it easy for you. The angels, when the people come and they remember Allah ta'ala, the angels come down and put their wings on them. What they do? They cover them with their wings from the Rahmah, and they make it easy for them to get to where they're going, to get the knowledge, and to return from where they have to return in order when they leave the knowledge. How it is? Some of the affairs of the unseen. So Allah ta'ala came to him. Then the second person who came, he was shy. He was shy. So instead of coming and staying in the spaces, he sat back there. Istahya. Fastahya Allah minhu. So Allah was shy of him. Allah is shy, Akhi, Qariq. But Allah is shy, not like the virgin girl. Not like the human being. Allah is shy in a way that befits his majesty. But Allah is not shy of the truth. And Allah la yastahi min al-haq. Allah not shy to tell you the truth concerning those affairs, how we need to get on and get along with our personal experiences, with our private affairs. No, the deen want to tell you about all that. You understand? We teach a class to our sisters, the handmaidens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to teach them about their religion. When we come to the issue of a najasat, what's najasa? And what's tahir? We have to mention to them, from the najasat is al-mazdi, which is the transparent liquid that comes out of the privates of a man when he strains. Oh, it just comes out. It's transparent. It's not like the semen, a different color. Not like the urine, a different color and texture. It's that transparent stuff. Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, Kuntu, Rajul Mazza'im. I used to be a man who used to have this mazdi. So I told one of my friends, go to the Masjid of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ask him, what should I do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was approached by the other man, because Ali was shy of going to ask the Masjid of Allah, the father of his wife, about this issue. He didn't want to talk about that. He's embarrassed. He's shy. He said, his friend, you go ask the question. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to do what? He said, if you get that, to do what? He said, to wash your private part off with water and to make wudu. And the fact that he told us to wash it off with water is proof what? That is negative. You got to clean it. Wallahi, we give these kind of hadith to those women, and they have to sit there because this is part of the religion. Of course, you have to say it in a nice way, you have to say it in a clean way, in an appropriate way, but in Allah, la yastahi min al-haq. Allah is not shy of the truth. And that's one of the things I have to pat us on the back. The people who are upon what we are upon, alhamdulillah, and who come from where we come from, Allah has made it so that we can appreciate and accept those things, wallahi. Whereas you find some of the other Muslims who are steeped in their modern day jahiliyyah of their culture, they want to keep their heads in the sand and not get educated about those affairs. You can't talk about that. You got to take somebody to the side and you can't talk about it. So they need their children to be educated by the kuffar. The shyness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishing the Quran, establishing the Sunnah. So Allah ta'ala is not shy of the truth to tell us about those affairs, when they're wrong, when they're right, what's sensitive, so forth and so on. Inna Allaha Hayyun Kareem Yastahi أن يرفع إليه عبد يديه فيردهما صفرا. Verily Allah is ever lifting, ever living, hay, and Allah is generous. He is shy for his servant to raise for him to make dua, and Allah doesn't give him something. Allah is shy for us to raise our hands up to him. Ya Allah, I need your guidance. Ya Allah, I need you a serious student of knowledge. Ya Allah, you are the teacher of Adam and Sulaiman. Teach me, and so forth and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shy with the son. He does that. So he never ever sends him away without putting anything in his hand. So he is shy, clearly. So the third man, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he said, he turns away. So Allah turns away from him. He turns away. فَأَعْرَضَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. The third man came, he didn't come up, he didn't go in the back, he turns away. Ah, I ain't got nothing, I ain't waste my time. Go watch the basketball game. Go sleep in the corner. Give me a bucket of chicken, a clam, and I'm asleep, and I'm going to the corner eating the masjid and doing all the ants in the masjid. That's what he's going to do. He's way over there doing another program altogether. You understand? That's what he's doing. This hadith of Quran shows you a very important point. I need you all to write this right here. If you don't write anything else, write this. Any of you have been writing, inshallah, with this being the last class, your notebooks too, inshallah, so we can see what was happening, what's been going on. This hadith of the three people who did what they did, understand this issue first, understand, it shows us a very important principle in al-Islam, and that is the statement of the ulama, al-jaza'u min jins al-amil. Can you translate that, Sa'id? Al-jaza'u. Yes, that's good. Jaza'u min dallahi jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. That's good. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amil. Remember we did La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La salata illa al-maktuba. Remember we did La al-nafi lil-jins. Remember we did that? The meaning of it is, the reward that you get is going to be comparable and proportionate to the deed that you do. If you come to Allah, Allah will come to you. If you're shy from Allah, Allah will be shy from you. If you turn away from Allah, Allah will turn away from you. If you make zina, it's a big thing. The reward you get for that, or the punishment, meaning the reward, what you get in return is going to be big. Whatever good that you're doing, or evil, is going to be comparable, the reward is going to be comparable to that thing that you're doing. That's why we have to stay away from those major sins. The minor sins, everybody is going to fall into them. Our nature is like that, the way we do it. But the major sins, Allah, none of us can get away. You're going to get it sooner or later. Sooner or later. And Allah knows best. If Allah don't choose to have mercy upon you and to forgive you, you're going to get it. That's not the truth. You've got to remember it. This is why, Ikhwan Wallahi, we've got to look at ourselves right here. I have a good opinion about all you brothers, inshallah. But I really believe that as Muslims, Wallahi, we are really, 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 all of us collectively, we are really, really honestly far away from the book of Allah Ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're closer to destruction, self-destruction, than we even realize it. The people that is, we don't really take any time and say, SubhanAllah, I'm honest. But you know, right now, what I'm saying is right now, there's not a single person who wants to say I'm not honest. Not a single one of us can say that. All of us know, man, the situation is washed out. Either me and my family, me and my kids, the way I'm practicing, what I'm doing, where I'm working, there's some sickness or sickness. And most of the case, in most instances, is compounded. It's not just one thing you're dealing with, there are a lot of things, a conglomerate of things in our personal lives that cause us to say, man, I'm out of it, or I'm just really far. And I think one of the worst things is for the person to think, wow, I'm really on it. Because we Salafi, we on it. Because we get that thing that's called al-ghurur. Al-ghurur is like when you're very impressed with yourself. And that's a disease. That's one of the worst diseases that can affect the person because you keep going through your life thinking you on it. And you don't really take the time out because you're comparing yourself with people and you think less than you.
A fitna. And then you see when we recognize it, that when we leave it's the same thing. Tomorrow is the same thing. That's the nature of the dunya. That's why people who get blessed by getting turned around, maybe those people who say, man, look, I want to make tawbah and it's hard. Too many things in my life that make it difficult for me. Let me, this one time, give sincere and ask Allah, and then tomorrow I'm going to fast. After that, I'm going to try to do some real, real good deeds. Some tahajjud, something. All I change my situation. There's a scholar in Islam, he was the Sheikh of Al-Imam Malik. His name was Al-Hadi Iyab. He wrote a lot of nice books. He used to be a highway robber. He used to rob people. He was a criminal. Hudayn ibn Iyab, Zakalahi. Hudayn, Zakalahi Yahi. MashaAllah. Hudayn ibn Iyab was an Abid al-Haramain. He was in Mecca, he used to worship Allah Ta'ala night and day. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak used to write to him and he used to say, Ya Abid al-Haramain. And he used to say, oh, you were worshiping at the Kaaba. We out here in the Sagharat, in the frontiers making jihad, and you over here. Don't you know that? He used to tell him all those hadith about the Prophet, I'm saying, the one who praying and fast all day is not like the one making jihad one day, peace be that. Anyway, for them, Ibn Iyab, رضي الله عنه ورحمه الله عليه, he used to be a highway robber. And if you wanted to travel from here to there, your whole jama'ah, your traveling party, would be afraid of Fudayl and his people. I mean, before we start the trip, us, don't think he's by himself. He got a bandit with his crew. He had his own posse. The chairman will say, Ya Akhi, look, we need to take a shore. Which road are we going to take? Because for them in Iyad, I heard last month, they done killed 25 people on that road. They took their money over there, and that's how people used to travel, thinking, how are you going to get around for them in Iyad? So one day, as Zain will be narrating, for them in Iyad was with a group of people, and Allah was making his heart inclined to Tawbah. As he was sitting close to them, they didn't know it was for them in Iyad. They started talking amongst themselves. Wallahi, we got up to this point so far, because they're living in the yard, you don't even see him, you ain't around. Maybe he won't get there and go. But they're living in the yard, says, SubhanAllah, look at me. Here I am, I got the servants of Allah, fearful, they in terror. I'm a terrorizer. At that point, he makes over to Allah, SubhanAllah. So SubhanAllah became a scholar from the scholars of Al-Islam. No, a real scholar, not somebody who just knows something. And on top of that, he was a worshiper. He was a worshiper at the Kaaba. Stayed in Mecca, left all that stuff alone, said I'm going to Mecca to make tawbah to worship Allah in Mecca, and started teaching the students some knowledge. Now actually, I ain't never been no highway robber in Islam. Ain't never been highway robber, and I don't think none of us have that type of terror that we've given to the people, inshallah. So if that's his case, what about us? A man who killed 99 people and then 100 make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what about us? So the point is, maybe we can make an effort to try to make salat tomorrow, to try to fast in the Rajab, the blessed day, the sacred month of Rajab, asking Allah Ta'ala, look, I want to do this, oh Allah, open up the door and give me the tawfiq. Because there's no tawfiq illa billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-jaza' min jins al-amal. You're going to get rewarded, and it's going to be comparable to the deed that you do, or the deed that you gave. And only had $5 and someone needed some sadaqah, and he gave that whole $5. And another man had $1 million. He had $1 million. And he gave $200. He just broke you off some $200, but he didn't want to do that, whatever. That $5 is a lot of money out here, and it's possible that Allah Ta'ala will reward it up to 700 times more. And plus 700 times more. So you have to look at the deed of the person. The last issue that we want to deal with is the question, what about the person who he hears the Quran being played in the road, in the store, and he comes into that place and he hears the Quran, he goes out. Is that turning away from the signs of Allah?
Is this what this is talking about, what Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab talked about? Obviously not. We discussed this so many times that Allah Ta'ala la yukallifu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah does not burden a soul beyond its scope and its ability. You're not mukallif when this happens to stay there and listen to the Quran. You have to get on with your life. If you can, that's better for you, inshaAllah. And the khayr al-kalam, kalam Allah. You're not going to go to any kalam better than that. But it's possible that you can leave that kalam Allah to go to the kalam of Allah somewhere else where it's easier for you and it's more appropriate for you to go. What about the student? He's in the class and he goes to sleep. On Friday, I need to turn away from the signs of Allah. The person who comes with the intention of learning, and he comes to the gym and he's been ordered to listen to the khutbah, he go to sleep, wallahi, he's from the people who are turning away from the signs of Allah. Alright, sleep overcomes them because he went to bed late last night. Or because the khatib is boring. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You have for us. I'll be here, I'll be here, one in the same with you. Still, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't allow it. And he told the people, when you go to sleep like that, to change your position. And that's why he prevented us from sitting certain ways during the khutbah like that. That's not a good way to sit during the khutbah because it will lead you to become too relaxed and to go to sleep. So if the case of the khutbah and the durood, you should be careful. You understand? So what happens is, if a person is falling asleep, then he should change his position. He should get on his knees. He should get on one knee and put the other knee up. Whatever he has to do in order to stay awake. To stay awake. Jazakumullahu khayra. So all of those people, who come to the class and they fall asleep, they should move around the same way. Get up, go wash your face, go do something to change your position, and don't be of the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about in the Quran that he made their heart ghafira. That's all Allah ta'afiyah wa salam. And with that, Ikhwan, that brings to an end the teaching of the 10 miraqat of the book of an Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Shaykh al Islam, rahimahullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those of you who were able to come every single day, every single lesson, and you went through a book from one of the Imams of al-Islam, a simple, easy book. Now we have to look to move on to the next book of the scholar, from the scholars of al-Islam. We have to decide what's going to be. And inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the notes that you have, what you do now. What you responsible for? You're responsible now to go, to learn that, add on to it, subtract from it, get some more detail from it. You're about to go with the people of knowledge, inshallah, in the conferences. There are issues. I told you, you should write the way you write your notes. You put stars, watermarks. These are things you need further clarification on. Things that Allah blessed you with. Understand, they came to your mind. Ideas that you want to touch upon. You take that book, you teach it to your family. You take that book, you go to the prison. You teach the people in the walk of the Islam in the prison. They're brand spanking the Muslims over there. You take that book, you go wherever you come from, wherever you want to go, to keep it low. And it doesn't always have to be Sheikh so-and-so, we gotta wait for him, the Mahdi to come down. We have to wait for you, Sabir al-Maryam to come down. If they don't come, you know, I can't do nothing. Or no, this is a foreign concept to al-Islam. Foreign concept, wallahi. A historic. You have an intelligent mind yourself. You can take that information, understand it. You ask me, is this how I know this is understanding this letter? I say, yeah, based upon what I know, whatever. You take that same information, go over there to Mount Dora. It's a Muslim from the WB community of Mount Dora. You know those people, they'll let you in the door. You say, okay, I want to teach a class over here. The things that put you outside of Islam. Easy, baby information. Okay, everyone, if you guys have any questions, inshallah. When I come back from the trip to Canada, Wednesday, bi-idhnillah, I'm going to slaughter a sheep for the brothers who came to the class. Because most of y'all was just missing in action. A lot of the brothers were just missing in action. And there were other brothers who came to every single class. But there are those people who had to work and then they changed their schedule to the daytime or then they were able to come at you. So we're going to take that in consideration. So we're going to let everybody come, inshallah. That Wednesday,
after Salat al-Maghrib, Wednesday after Salat al-Maghrib. Everybody can come. Bring your people. No, no, just the brothers come. So we only do one sheet.
Thursday.
Thursday.
Everybody.
Somebody's going to
Tuesday,
somebody's going to
Wednesday.
Wait. Yesterday, Tuesday? Let me do it when we come back, inshallah. But maybe I have my baby by that time. Suppose I have my baby at that time. Inshallah. My baby, I'm going to name him Abdul Karim Abdul Zuhira. Hey, you guys have any questions, inshallah? Akhi Sa'id, that's Abdakallah.
You made a statement that every level, the evil soul goes to, the angels are going to be saying, what if this mother, you know, what if this sinful soul? But I thought I read in the hadith that the heaven won't even be open for this guy and he's going to come back down.
No, no, the doors of paradise won't be open for him. But each level of hell soul is going to say that. The door of paradise is not going to be open for him. It's going to be flung back into the sijin. And that's the meaning of the ayah. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّاسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ. This ayah is about that. Now,
In the Quran, in Surah Musa 15, Allah said that the sijin is a tabernacle of phone, like a register where the bees are. So if you said that the soul is going to be inside it, can you explain that?
And the Iliyin is the high place for the people of the paradise. Where's the Quran? Anybody got that? Let me see.
Not
like that. The Iliyin.
You know, you're saying about the student before speaking to class, he's denying the time of the law. How can a person make that statement when it's not obligatory for the person to be in the first place?
The other of the place. And it's possible that his being is kind of obligatory, right? Because the ilm, fardul kifayah, fardul ayn. But we're talking about the adab of the priest. You're going to make, when he's at the Jummah, it's not obligatory for him to be there.
I'm talking about the Jerusalem.
It's the same thing. Jummah is adab, fardul ayn, for him to be there. If he's not a traveler, he's not a slave, he's not one of those people, he's there. And when he goes to sleep like that, he's turning away from the ayat of Allah subhanahu. The sleep overtakes him. Now you're not responsible if sleep just overtakes you, right? Because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if one of you, Allah has overlooked the mistakes of the people, you don't have to pray until you wake up. So you're not responsible. But coming there is not from the adab of the student of knowledge in this place to turn away from qala Allahu wa qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even his right mind, can someone just give me an example? Maybe you read somewhere, you heard somewhere, where those companions used to fall asleep like that. I mean, do we even know one incident? All you brothers who are here, look at all your numbers. Yeah, you know one incident?
The hadith of when Hudayfa went to the souk to get the people, we used to tell them that the inheritance of the Prophet was being distributed in the masjid. When the people came back to the masjid, they said, what did you see? He said, that's not the rules. That's all the people who were sleeping.
Same thing, Ayna fiqhu come on.
I'm just saying, I mean.
I'm not talking about giving a proof that people sleeping in the masjid. Ayna fiqhu, that's the masjid. He said, I'm talking the rules, zikr of Allah, using the Quran. But now, you have to say, after people sleeping at the zikr of the verse and the zikr of the Quran, no, they were sleeping on the lapels. And even if they were sleeping in Mandarin, he's talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Mm. Understand? Now, hold on. Go ahead.
The hadith that we have talked about training, could you say that if somebody comes to the class, for example, three people come to the class, for example, one person comes, other person sit back, but they come and the other person leaves. Can you say that he's doing something that's not cruel, that, you know, whatever?
it's just like the, what do you call it? Just like the issue that we mentioned about the Quran being holy, and you're walking in the souk, or you're walking around a complete. It depends on what is going on in your life. It depends why that person is. He comes to the masjid, he doesn't have to stay for no zikr at all. He get up and go. That's it. No one can blame him. No one can blame him at all. So if a person comes in the masjid and he is a brother and he gets up and leaves, no, there's no blame on him. He's not blameworthy. Because his zikr is not to read to get away from the knowledge. Talking about the person who the Prophet was speaking in this hadith is the person who comes to the class, he came to the knowledge, and he turns away from the knowledge. Like, I don't need that. It's seven or anhu. So I don't need it. You understand? That's what that hadith is talking about. That's for the person who comes to the class with the sole intention and meaning of learning. And then as he sits there, you start to tell him about the Quran and the Sunnah. He says, no, no, oh yeah, haddathani. That's all you got. Aqidah, aqidah. The fellow says, I'm tired of it. So that's all you're teaching? And he'll get upset and leave. I'm sorry.
He just
given Dawah Tarah's
parents on
the deathbed.
Suppose one of them says, La ilaha
illallah.
He mentioned that
as a point of
truth.
Before I would say that, actually, we will have to see what's going on. But La ilaha illallah is not enough. He said, La ilaha illallah. What happened to Muhammad al Rasulullah? We will have to look at all of the details. But in general, Muslims are optimistic and cooperative in those issues. And we have al-raja, we have hope that Allah Ta'ala's mercy is going to overlook. You're not going to look at those issues with the negative eye before you look with the positive eye. Inshallah, Allah forgave that person and all that kind of stuff. If people made janazah over that person who is not sure, inshallah, they did. To leave a moment they doubt for that which they don't doubt. And you got it right if he is a Muslim. If you're not a Muslim with Allah's fault, we did the best that we can. We know this jihad. Now, Nahi Allah.
You made the point about the angel kind of visiting you in the grave, okay? And the soul does answer with the right text, okay? The believing soul. And you said that they took the soul up to the heaven. I don't know what happened when that soul back to the grave and stays in the grave again?
Yeah, they go up to the heaven, and then they come back down. And they'd be inside a grave. And in the grave, they see to their right, the angel tell them, there's a long hadith, Nahi. When he answers the right way, the angel's gonna say, look to your right. You wanna look to the right? For the believer, you're gonna see a lot of good. Say, look to your left. You wanna look to his left, you're gonna see something that scares him. Then you're gonna have a partner with him, a companion in the grave, who got a nice face, nice face. He said, who is that? They don't need to say, your good deeds that you have. They're going to be accompanying you in the grave. And the Prophet said that man, will be said to him, Nay, commandable earth. Sleep the sleep of a new married man. Go to sleep and take it easy because you want to be a part. You know, can you imagine getting married for the first time now? You know how you feel. When you look at your sister for the first time, it's going to be such a sleep the sleep of a new married man. You don't have any problems. You want to enjoy that companion, you want to enjoy your wisely, even if you are on top of other people that buried in the same grave before you. And to your right are people who got buried right before you. Even if that's the case, for as long as your eyes can see, it's going to be nice. You understand? So there are quite a few things that are going to happen. Well,
when a person such as mine is not going to be taken about imagining bonds and being stuck inside with food and die. And I know you mentioned how you can hear and see hearing through the people. I know this is the one of the things we're talking about. Another thing we're talking about was that you can feel in the table of the thing, you can feel the things that they do to you. That's why you shouldn't get, you know, your body stuck in the subject of the people are doing to you. Now, is there something?
Well, I don't know about that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said that prophet and that munafiq, after those angels say to him what they say, they're going to hit him with their mouth. They're going to hit him with their hammer. And when he gets hit with their hammer, he will scream out. And every single thing is going to hear him scream except the human being humans and the jinn. The Prophet says to Allah and tell them, if Allah will allow you people to hear this scream, none of you will be burning in your day. It is free. You might say, if you were to hear the people who scream out now in the day, that's going to be unseen up here. So those companions, when they used to hear about them kind of stories and issues like that, he said to himself, you know, they knew he wasn't like me with stories and people screaming and crazy rocks and look. And he tried to say, imagine that. How would it be all them dead people screaming and stuff like that, acting like that? Had I been able to hear my mother, I wouldn't want to put him in jail because I knew it was going to happen to her. Okay? So, this thing about feeling and all that kind of stuff, we only could talk about that with knowledge, inshallah. I love it. Mama, she did come in. Then my man.
Okay, going to the grave.
You
know that we come back to our conscious state. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the knowledge that we have, when He's checking us with the knowledge, you know, and He just comes to the gate for us to be able to answer this, most people think that they're just going to the religious knowledge so they can just state our answer, and we lost from our knowledge. Checking us with the knowledge to answer these three questions. Because it seems so easy, and we can just go on the way right now, but we know these three questions.
If a person buys an old friend, we'll have the ability to say what he ought to say. You buy an old friend, strengthen, coming back up, I don't know about all that. If you buy an old friend, you buy an old friend, he'll be able to deal with everything you have to deal with. That takes from the punishment of the grave and from the fitna of the grave, is that every single person, his size is going to be crushed to the other side. Everyone. He said, if someone was to have been saved from that, it would have been saved from Ibadah, but never. Everyone on one side is going to be crushed to the other side. I mean, it's a serious situation. You got to be responsible now. It's time to be, you know, held accountable for the situation. And sometimes I say, wallahi, we can bring some of those hadiths together, we can read them, you go back home, when your wife starts tripping, you just sit down. You just say, what are you talking about? Have you not heard about the punishment of the grave? Are you talking about the new stuff? What's so busy with that? And then you'll be less inclined to argue with her and all that kind of stuff. What are you talking about? Hey, I'm just kidding. You know how to buy this hot dog, lunch meat. What are you talking about, lunch meat? No, then you're all upset over that. See? Right here,
yeah,
there's an empty room. I'm sorry about that, Aki.
No, go ahead.
For the empty room, we're going to get Tafsir Ibn Kathir, and not Adirat on our empty room. When we let you know what the empty room is, we saw a register inscribed. We want to get the Tafsir Ibn Kathir, inshallah. Go ahead, Aki. I'm with you.
Okay, concerning the second man, or the people of knowledge, the one that was shot, I don't even quite understand. Did he ever get the knowledge, or because he was sitting by with his mouth shut, it didn't come to him, or what?
Inshallah, his presence was there, so not going to give it to it, because even if he didn't get the knowledge, by virtue of the fact that he was present, the prophet told us, otherwise, and those who are present, they're better than those who are not present. The Rahmah engulfs them, and the Malaika comes out and surrounds them. So the guy who is shy and he's back there, he participated in all that. With the king of the Rahmah and the Malaika. So he's out there, even if you don't know it. My man, Tariq of Sahir, is back there sitting on a chair right there. Shall I give all of them? He's part of the program where the Malaika are here, where the Malaika are here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is named in the mention, people study wherever they are on the earth. They come and they sit down and they witness the barak, the lesson, the kalam. Now, Alim. Alim.
Just two questions. Now, I know what you're going to ask. If you're a drop back, would it only be, if you have knowledge, But the answer, I think, I understand we need to get more specific in the time, but there is some question to that. And then after that, the question is, what can be true?
Well, I love me, my mom, and I love me. But you know,
the angels said, who's your dad?
عبدالله ابن مسعود اتبعوا ولا تتبعوا لقد كتبتم follow and don't create it's a message that you've been given here's the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said they ask you and you answer yay or no that's it don't worry about where did you know that come who is the sheikh that taught you what day was that what did you hear did you have the adab of a pilot the prophet didn't go for that so this is from the affairs of the unseen. The hereafter, those things like that is going to be such a great place and a great standing that to be able to answer all other stuff is, you know, we would think it's part of the equation. Just to be able to answer now. You understand that question? I know they allow me to make it so that if the person just answered that easy question. Because it's such a serious situation going on, that if you can answer in the affirmative in the correct way, then you don't have to go through all that
stuff.
La ilaha illallah.
Kicking your son out, forcing your wife. Everybody knows that
hear this statement, this one statement, right, and they say, oh, Abu Usama say, divorce, kick him out, do this, do that. And they disregard all of the other classes they came to. They disregard all of the other lectures they came to. They disregard all of the advices that they heard being given, in which we said, go the extra yard for people who are close to you, your relatives, your babies, your family members. Go the extra yard and bend over backwards for them. Do what you have to do for them without compromising the religion. But when the time comes and it's clear that, you know, you have to make a distinction, you have a line in the sand, do you do what they say? We're done with Yusuf and Khidr. How about sit off in Bailey and Bailey? That's it. It's there between you and me.
Even with the mother?
Everybody. To be kind, to be good, lower the ring of humility. Hey, you guys, where you guys at? You hear me saying something other than that? You hear me saying something other than that? You hear the companion of the prophet, he said to his mother, he said, I'm going to fast all till I die, then I'm going to call you the one who killed your mother. He said, look, if you are given 100 souls, and you fast until each one dies, one after the other, I'm not going to leave my religion. You're just going to have to die. You keep fasting to each soul. Look, not just this soul that you had, fast and you kill it. If you got 100 of them, and you kept on dying one after another, I know I got to be good to you, and I know I got to treat you right, but you get 100 deaths before I leave my religion. You see what I'm saying? So, come on, Achim. You guys don't understand that? That's what I'm saying to people. And the baby is the same thing. People are married to women who have children from Jahiliyyah or from other husbands. The daughter is 16, 17, 18. She hangs out. She goes to the party. She goes to cliques. She goes to these clubs, wherever they are. She comes back in her go-go gear. And they're struggling with her. You give her a chance. Look, you don't get with the program or you out of here. Because I have my other little babies who are watching you. You're like a cancer. We gotta do some amputation on you, because if you don't, it's the fiqh of Al-Islam, the less of the two evils. So you have to do that with the wife and make the wife understand. Not because I got some personal against a girl, it's not because she's not my daughter. That's a tough call to make. And we tell people, get the people of knowledge involved before the husband, who's not the father of the girl or the son, before they make that decision. So that, you know, it'll be a third party who doesn't have anything to do with it. It can never be accused of having something in or against that person. It's cancer.
I'm not clear about this one issue. So if you separate from the mother, right? You separate from her because she is, you know, pounding on you and your family, and I need to be sisters and stuff like this. What if she comes back and asks for her rights or wealth or something like that? So do you still separate from her
in
all these issues, or do you still
give
her, give her all that consideration?
Hey, when did I say separate from your mother?
I thought I was asking you earlier, maybe I didn't have this question.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I didn't
understand what was going on. No, you gotta be on the scene with your mother as long as, you know, there's some hope and some possibility and there's no harm to you. There's a sister from Alabama who, her father tried to shoot her. Oh, he did shoot her. He shot her. She got a bullet in her. She got lead in her right now. She didn't die though. Now we're going to say, hey, stay with them and continue to give them dawah. Yeah, give them dawah, but write them letters. Give them dawah by the telephone. Don't live with them people no more. He shot the girl. Took the gun and shot her. So now what we have to do is, if I that girl, don't put yourself in jeopardy. Don't put yourself in harm's way. But us, come on. I mean, we all have relationships, even if we start arguing with our mothers. I know a brother whose wife's mother is a shaitana. According to what he tell me, she a fitna. And Allah is al-Hakim. He knows who to give fitness to, who can handle it, who can be patient and all that. He know I couldn't deal with that. See? He know that I would, you know, it would be a problem. He know that for a fact. Allah know that. That brother, he has to deal with that situation. He has to determine. Then it comes the point where I don't want your mother around my babies no more. You don't cut her off. Because your mother's a devil. He has to determine that. You know what I'm saying? Because what's going to happen is, every time I go there, I can drive from here to where she's at. And the whole trip, during the whole trip, I'm talking to myself. Me and my wife, we're talking. Pumping ourselves up and gearing ourselves up for the mental war. But when we get there, she's such a devil, and her will is so bad, that I forget all that preparation that I had. Now I'm going to cut her off because sooner or later I'm going to knock her out. And that's going to bring a bigger problem. See? So everybody has to determine the situation. Now I'm
good. Here's another example that fluctuates in prayer. This is right now, a couple of years after I've been in my brother has a very close relationship with his mother and father. And up until the time he became Muslim, he became his brother.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك واشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك